Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. It's Sunday, October 12th. It's the JV team, people. Remember that from Fridays? Woo! Back where we belong. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. Our big sisters are off doing important things. So it's just me, Sheila, and Monica. Monica, you're in Portland, Oregon today. How's everything there?
Great. Good to be with you, ladies. Good to be back with the threesome.
I know. Don't worry. It's an Ebola-free newscast. All right. And then, Sheila, you're there in South Pasadena. What's happening with you? There's always something going on.
Well, I'm hanging tough. But, Leon, I just wanted to say they missed you at Aqua Zumba this morning.
I didn't go.
I know you didn't. I was looking for you. It was a light class. But, boy, she was – I mean, Monica, if you cannot believe this Aqua Zumba instructor at our pool.
She had miles an hour.
She's going just a gorgeous Brazilian woman, and she had a sling on her arm.
Yeah,
and she was still making the move. So good for her.
I have to tell you though, Sheila, I did go back midweek. I went to the Wednesday class, even though I completely dismissed it a week ago. It's a compelling exercise, and I got back in the pool Wednesday night and did my thing. So
good for you, Leah.
Yeah. So it was a little cloudy today. I just didn't go. I had an extra cup of coffee and bailed, but I may swim later. All right. We have a full show. It's not heavy or anything, but it's full. Sheila has a very important personalized pan pizza announcement she'd like to make. Monica got eyeglasses, and I saw something in a grocery store that grossed me out. So that pretty much covers... So if you were expecting something more, you've tuned into the wrong show. Sheila.
Wait, I have some actual news here, Leah.
Okay, go for it then.
Big surprise. I'm bringing news forth to the podcast. I just wanted to bring up the Nobel Peace Prize winners, in particular, the young 17-year-old Pakistani woman, Malala. I won't try to pronounce her last name. She won the Nobel Peace Prize this week. She's 17 years old. She was the young woman who was shot 2 years ago, shot in the head because of her beliefs. And her main cause has been education for women. And she is an absolutely incredible person. And I thought it was time for me to present current events to my third grade class. I thought this was a story that was worth presenting.
Mm-hmm. I actually teared up. When I turned on my computer that morning and saw her face, I got choked up.
Oh, I know. And I will not do what Naomi Campbell did this week.
What did she do? I missed it.
Well, Naomi Campbell congratulated malaria on winning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Autocorrect. That's rough.
You're right. And I mean, it's the same, and it's not a joking matter, but it's the same as that Hilaria, the yoga instructor who got married to do...
the Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Is it her name is Hilaria, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, let's go back. So
I think they pronounce it Ilaria, not not right. Like it's a disease for women. Hilaria. No.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going. Well, so back to Malala.
Mm-hmm. Back to Malala. So I get my computer, and there's a reason that I don't use media in the classroom. There, you know, everything is tech now, but there's a reason, especially with third graders. So I brought up the story on CNN. Mm-hmm. I told them all about why she won, and the kids were rapt. I mean, they were really interested. And then I made the mistake of playing the video of her speech. See, it wasn't the video itself. The speech was beautiful, and the kids were really getting it. It was what happened after the video ended. Apparently, there were some ads on the screen that were not appropriate.
Because
all of a sudden, one of my little 8-year-old students raises his hand wildly. Miss Dolan, there are inappropriate ads We're watching inappropriate ads right now. I mean, apparently his parents have told him to just shout that out if something comes up on the screen that's inappropriate. And of course, that ruined the entire story.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So as soon as the kids hear the word inappropriate, they go looking for. And of course, I'm trying to close my lid on my computer, which didn't actually disconnect the picture on the screen because it's media. So, and I'm not good with media. So I finally found the button to close the screen off, but it was just a moment, moment of, just some nice current events, a hopeful story being destroyed by the word inappropriate.
Well, at least you tried.
And what's going to get back to the parents is not the fact that I brought up the story of the 17-year-old Nobel Peace Prize winner.
What was the ad for? Like Viagra or something?
I don't want to say the word because we said we were having an Ebola-free show.
Oh, okay.
But somehow, I don't know how, there was a picture of Ebola with something inappropriate next to it. I don't know, but the child said, inappropriate, Ebola. And then I just went wildly trying to shut off my screen. Now, I don't know if it actually was Ebola. It could have been something else.
Yeah.
Woo, what a morning. Well, so after a long week of trying to do a lot of different things in the classroom, it was a Friday night. And I made a deliberate plan that night. I wanted to basically anesthetize myself with a personal pan pizza.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's a food item in your life that maybe once a year you decide to just go for it.
Yeah, mac and cheese. That's the item.
A bowl?
Old bowl of delicious mac and cheese.
That is a good one, Leah.
Yeah, yeah.
Monica, how about you? Do you have a food that you just, you know that you're going to go into a coma after you eat it?
I would say a big hamburger. Big juicy hamburger.
Ooh.
Cheeseburger.
Well, you know, you all mentioned the one item, which I think is one of the main ingredients. There are three ingredients that will cause you to go into a food coma. That cheese is one.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you know, and salt is the other. And then any kind of white flour. Right?
Right.
Okay. So, I thought that I go to a different level because I order the gluten-free white pizza, but it still has cheese. It still has salt. Mm-hmm. And then the gluten-free crust has extra sugar in it. So there you go. It's wheat-free, but it's not sugar-free. So you're eating a sugary, cheesy, salty, gluten-free, item. But here's the thing. The personalized pizza is for many persons. It's not. Basically, a personalized pan pizza is about 4 to 5 slices.
Mm-hmm.
And when was the last time you sat down and chowed 4 to 5 pieces of pizza?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Long time ago. I mean, two pieces of pizza, that's a serving.
That is.
That's
right.
A serving. 4 is just way too much.
And I think this is actually bordering on 5 pieces.
4 is like a belly buster.
Well, I busted a lot of things on Friday night.
Pants.
I have it delivered because it's so demoralizing to order this pizza. So I call up my place. Now, there's a place in South Pass, Liam, called Mama's.
Oh, I've seen it. I've never had pizza there.
Mama's Brick Oven Pizza. Apparently, they boast that they have thin crust, like New York. But it doesn't matter how thin the crust is. If you're eating 4 to 5 pieces.
Yeah. It's a good point.
It doesn't matter. So I call up, and of course my number is in their computer. So, and I'm just getting ready for this. I mean, this is a Friday night, once a year delight. So I said, hi. He goes, Sheila. I said, oh yeah. Hi. I said, I'd like to order. He goes, personalized pan pizza. I said, yeah, I'm going to get the personalized pan pizza. He goes, gluten-free?
It's like he's reading your mind. Maybe you should date him.
And he goes, the white pie, right, Sheila? White pie? I go, yeah, all white, the white out. And then he says, well done. I said, uh-huh, well done. So I get that delivered. And
that is a personal pan pizza place. They got everything about you in there.
It's just, it doesn't matter how many years I've been doing this. I still am convinced that I'm not going to eat the whole personalized pan pizza.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and I put it back into the oven. I get it really burnt the way I like it. And just that crust, that gluten-free crust, it is just, it's mesmerizing. And I play a little game, you know, just keep it in the oven. And it's like 4 hours, over the course of 4 hours watching Netflix, I will eat that personalized pan pizza.
Yeah.
And then go into the coma. But, you know, I just think pizza is not for middle-aged women. I don't think we should do it at all.
I know. Yeah. I agree with you, Sheila. I do. It's just really one piece is more than enough. That's the problem now. That is the problem. I sometimes go just take the cheese off the top. That's how I deal with multiple pieces of pizza. just eat the cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
It is, but.
And what do you do with that? You just put it right in the garbage or you give it to your sons?
Sometimes, no, they don't eat.
Scraped off cheese.
No, I eat the cheese and then I take the crustiest of the crust. I just eat the top half and put the bulk of the crust in the garbage. That's what I do. So it's a touch of crust.
Speaking of cheese, last night I was watching my favorite travel show, Globetrekkers, and they were in Switzerland. And this woman took a train to the town of Gruyere. And I was on the couch alone. I was thinking, I'd like to go to Gruyere someday.
Oh, you can go all by yourself, baby.
That would be quite, that's a bucket list trip.
Going to Gruyere. Well, the good news is it'll be another year before I do that.
Sure. Sure it will. Just keep telling yourself that. They have your order. You must order it more than once a year. Just admit that to yourself. At least be honest.
All right, sisters. Well, moving on. Every once in a while, again, once a year, I check the wedding celebrations in the New York Times just to see what funny people are getting married this week. And I have a goodie. I think you're going to appreciate this. I'm going to read off the first and last names of the bride and the groom. The bride is coming first, and it's going to be hard to get through this in one shot. Here we go. Prudence Pfeiffer, and I haven't even gotten through the bride's names. Prudence Pfeiffer and Charles Fulford the Third. Pfeiffer and Fulford. Oh my God. Prudence Pfeiffer and Charles Fulford the Third. I mean, when that wedding invitation came out, I mean, the calligrapher must have
too many F's.
She said, like, fuff. I mean, it's Prudence Pfeiffer and Charles Fulford the Third. Oh, man.
At least it wasn't Charles Fulford the Fourth.
Okay. The bride, of course, will continue to use her name professionally. Prudence Pfeiffer, professionally.
Thank God she's not hyphenating.
She's not hyphenating. She went to Yale, PhD in art history from Harvard. Maybe she was a Fulbright scholar, Prudence Pfeiffer, a Fulbright. Maybe she had full scholarship on a Fulbright.
I hope she's not listening.
I know. She's probably a loyal listener. Okay.
Now the groom, Charles Fulford the Third, just doesn't seem like he has to do much, right? With a name like that.
No. And is there any lineage involved?
he doesn't, as a matter of fact. I think she's the breadwinner. Prudence is the breadwinner. And Charles basically invented a new bourbon. Basically, he's the creative CEO of Pinhook Bourbon, based in Versailles, Kentucky. Wherever that is, Versailles, Kentucky. Of course it's Versailles. He's Charles Fulford III. The groom's previous marriage ended in divorce. I guess he couldn't find a woman with enough F's in her name the first time around. But, good luck. The Prudence Pfeiffer. Anyway, they seem like a nice couple.
Yes.
And that is one wedding invitation. I wish I had seen that, boy. That's classic. Prudence Pfeiffer or Charles Fulford III. And that's it. That's all from me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sheila. Ooh. Get ourselves back together. Okay, Monica report. I want to tell you a little saga of my new eyeglasses. So I decided to jump in and see an eye doctor and have my eyes examined because I think I told you about how I almost failed the driver test when I had to renew my license. So I went comprehensive eye exam. It took like 2 hours, very professional doctor of optometry. I just wanted to move beyond my cheap reader glasses. So she gave me a prescription for 2 pairs of glasses. One was going to be bifocals. We discussed the progressive lenses, and she said, are you prone to car sickness? And the minute she said that, I was car sick. I couldn't even. She said, some people have difficulty adjusting. She said, I said, you see them moving their heads up and down. I was like, nope, car sickness right there. So she suggested the bifocals. So I was really excited. Went to a lovely eyeglass shop and got a very pretty pair of, now I'm going to call them sort of a blonde tortoise shell.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was nice. So I thought I'll just start with the first pair of bifocals and see how they go. So it was going to be computer reading. And I picked them up and I put them on last week. I was very excited to get them. And I was just immediately seasick.
Yeah.
My head was just swimming. I could not believe what I was seeing. Like the definition.
What you had been missing.
What I had been missing. Everything was like so sharply focused. It was just incredible, the detail that you can see on your computer screen when you can actually see.
It is. Wow, it is.
It is. And so I was completely avoiding the bottom little window there, the reading thing, because that made me completely seasick. So I found over the course of the week, I just kept moving my chair farther back from the screen.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So if I sit like against the back wall of my office and look at my computer screen, I'm good. But it's hard to type that way. So I think there's going to be a period of adjustment. And I guess I just didn't realize how hard it was going to be to get used to the up, down, seasickness, swimming feeling. And I'm wondering if that's going to go away. I think my glasses are too strong.
It could be. I've had this issue with my glasses. They're just off, and it does take a while to get used to them, and you might not get used to them.
I know. I think I'm seeing too much. I don't need all that.
All the sight? You don't need all the detail?
I don't need all that detail. When I'm tired, I can see how the little reading glasses are going to come in handy. So, you know, let's just say I had like a raging headache last week at the end of the day, which is not good. And now I paid, you know, even though I have insurance, I paid like $100 extra for these glasses, and they're really lovely. And they have real glass lenses as opposed to my plastic drugstore ones. So,
well, if they've given you the wrong lenses or if it's not working, they will replace them once for free, Monica. So don't just abandon ship. If you really keep having the headaches, go back because they'll readjust them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the wrong lenses, though. I think that was the way my eyes tested when I was in the office. I mean, I think they put the right lenses in there. I just think the prescription is just super strong for me. So my theory is like my eyes are only going to get worse. So maybe somewhere down the road.
Oh, that's classic. That's classic.
Monica, isn't it?
Yes.
Have to go back, Monica. You have to go back. You paid for them. Just tell them what's going on.
Well, they can't. The glasses shop has the prescription from the doctor, so they can't just change the lenses. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's if I have to get used to them or if they're just too strong. I mean, they're strong. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you need the strong lenses. I would, you know what I would suggest? Pop a couple Dramamine and read like that, you know?
Put your head on the desk and drool all day. Yeah, I mean, that's not a solution. I don't know what the solution is. I'm trying a little breaking in period. I'm going to wear them at work for my work for like an hour or two each day and just see how it goes. I mean, one thing's for sure, it's super sharp. I'm seeing things, which is good. That's not a bad thing. I feel like I could do neurosurgery at this point.
Okay. Keep us posted.
I'll keep you posted on that. I'll keep you posted. That was my big news this week.
Whew. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undarius seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right. Well, Friday night, I did something that was fun. It was a fundraiser for the cancer support community here in Pasadena, which is a great organization that provides free counseling for cancer patients and their families. You remember when mom was diagnosed and we had so many questions and we needed to call people and get all these information? This is exactly what they do for free. So it's an organization. Sheila, you and I did that stand-up routine for them a couple years ago.
We killed this ladies' night out thing.
So Monica, this fundraiser it's a crazy, wacky fundraiser that it makes so much money because it is 250 women only. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So it's all these ladies from Pasadena who go to these things all the time, but now they get to leave like their deadbeat husbands at home. Like they're
so really cut loose with the girls.
Yeah. And everyone gets all dressed up. There's a lot of blowouts happening. There is makeup happening. There's outfits from cocktail dresses to like sequins and blue jeans. It's all over the map. And there's a silent auction, of course. There's food. There's beverages. Then there's the live auction, usually an inspirational speaker or some sort of entertainment. And then the pièce de résistance is a band, like an 80s band called Last Action Hero or Past Action Hero. And everyone gets up and dances together.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It is fun. It is fun, fun, fun. And then last year, inexplicably, they thought it would be fun to have like a belly dancer kind of do teaching, like teach the ladies to dance, do a little performance before the band kicked in. But literally the company sent the wrong dancer. And so it was a stripper. So a female stripper. So last year after like I did the live auction, then a woman got up and started taking her clothes off. And people were like, huh, okay, all right. She had the tassels working. It was unbelievable. It was confusing.
Oh, my gosh.
So they asked.
When you said you did the live auction, were you the auctioneer?
I was the auctioneer. Yes.
Oh, Leanne.
It's really hard.
Calling out, $20 in the corner there, whatever they do.
Yes, yes,
wow.
Yes. It is really hard. Last year was the first.
How did you learn how to do this?
You know, I've just been to a couple. I'm winging it. Hopefully you have some good spotters or helpers in the room. But I'm really just winging it. So I can't say that I'm great at it, but I'm enthusiastic about it. But it is really hard. So for me, it's a work night. So even though I got there at 6 and everyone's having fun and, oh, where's pink champagne and this and that, nothing. I had like not a drop to drink before I got on stage at 9 to do that, that auction because it's 10 items. You don't want to blow it. Most of them were good. Most of them went, for a decent amount of money. Women don't bid like men bid. You know, they don't get into those competitive bidding situations. Women back out pretty quickly. But there were some good items. So the ladies went for it, the weekend at the Four Seasons, and they had one like TV makeover. You got to be on a daily TV show and get a makeover. So that went well. And, a lot of them, it's sponsored by a luxury automobile dealer. So they're involved like Bentley and Jags, like take the Jag for the weekend. So it's the nuttiest fundraiser and it totally works. But here's the thing. So this year I decided to wear something sassy. I decided to go for it, ladies. I got the black jumpsuit. Okay. Got a black.
Yes.
I have been threatening to purchase a jumpsuit all season long. I was an early proponent of the jumpsuit. I had 3 or 4 jumpsuits in college in the mid 80s from Henry Lair in Westport.
You were out there. You were fashion forward, Leanne.
And those had like the big zippers in the front and everything. So those were sort of easy on, easy off jumpsuits.
But right.
So I told my friend Paige, who sort of acts as an ad hoc stylist for me, I said, I think I'm wearing the black jumpsuit and then just that flowy thing, like that filmy thing over it. Yeah. She goes, okay, here's what I got to tell you about the jumpsuit. Do not drink a drop of anything because it's impossible to go to the bathroom in the jumpsuit. I was like, what? She goes, it's really complicated. Okay, I'm just warning you. I was like, okay. So I had that in my mind that this was going to be a highly complicated operation. And so, and, you know, and I did have the overlay. And as I was putting it on, like the button near the neck was kind of one of those pearly buttons. It was a little tricky to get, you know, get on and off. But I thought I can execute this. But she said, leave yourself like a half an hour before you have to go on stage to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay, that's good. It's good advice.
You have to take all of your clothes off.
Pretty much. You have to take all. Yes. I mean, not pretty. Yeah. You got to take all your clothes off to go to the ladies' room. So I went into the porta potty good and early. I really did it like an hour before I thought I was going to have to be on stage before the lines got going. And you guys, I had a complete and total like claustrophobic panic attack meltdown because it did in fact take me so long to get the pearl button off that I was like sweating, and then I had to like roll down the jumpsuit into the Spanx, and then I'm in the porta potty and I don't know if it timed out, then the lights went out in the freaking porta potty.
Oh, Lynn.
And you know I'm claustrophobic anyway, and I'm trapped in a porta potty like naked to my ankles. Could not even execute the mission. I was freaking out so much.
That sounds so bad for you, Leah.
And I had to just pull everything up. I was like, I gotta get out of this porta potty. And I came like busting out of the porta potty. I hadn't even buttoned the top of the thing or put the filmy overlay on. And the bartenders were like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I got trapped in the porta potty.
Well, porta potties are bad. Ooh, anyway.
I'm telling you, it
you
was so.
Imagine a jumpsuit in a porta potty.
I won't wear it to another porta potty dependent event. I can tell you that.
So I'm surprised they had a porta potty. Was this out half outdoors or?
It was at a private home. So there were, yeah. So they had like it was at a big private home. So, and it looked beautiful. It was great. They were not the deluxe porta potties that we had at our niece's wedding. They were just sort of standard, nice porta potties.
Oh,
once the light went out, it was panicky. So I'm just saying, if you're thinking about a jumpsuit, remember that this is just, there are some drawbacks to it. So, but I wasn't the only one. I was not the only one in a jumpsuit. There were Gola May jumpsuits there. There were three or four of us rocking the jumpsuits.
Now the jumpsuit, back now? Is that it?
It is. Yeah, it's back. Okay. It made a big play this spring and this summer. I think you can find them on sale now.
Ashla Padma wears some. Padma Lakshmi.
Okay, well, yes, I think I like the whole idea of just one piece going all the way up.
Yes, it was surprisingly flattering on me, you know, so it was a good look except for, that.
So that's tense, Leanne.
It was tense, but I got the job done. And then we had Angie Everhart was the speaker, the model and actress. Yeah, who she's a cancer survivor. So she came and she is like 100 feet tall. You cannot believe how tall and beautiful she is. Oh, my gosh. So she was very generous to show up at this event. And then so it was all in all, tons of fun. I took my friend Susan and we had a great time. So
that sounds great, Leanne.
Yeah. Happy
Except
to raise
for money. The good for you
yeah.
doing a live auction, Leanne. That's hard.
It is hard. I was hoarse yesterday. I was 10 and my legs hurt. I don't know. what that was about. Sure.
Tensed up in the porta potty.
I think it was.
I think it triggered some. Yeah, you had a major event there in the porta potty. Whew. Tell them you need your own bathroom next year.
Okay, that's good, Sheila. I'll start demanding. I'm going to demand a few things. No. Happy to do it.
What else is going on, Leanne? I haven't seen you at Vaughn's lately.
Oh, well, very briefly, I did. I have a question for you guys. I know we're slightly out of order here, but the other day I was at Gelson's, the nicer grocery store, and I saw a dog in the grocery store. It was like a 16-year-old First of all, I just objected that she was like 16 and she had like a Chanel bag. I objected to that.
But she also
had like her little toy dog with her.
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong, right? Like I couldn't even believe that was legal.
They're just everywhere. They're just the line is completely blurred. People take their dog everywhere with them.
Well, they feel they're entitled the smaller it is. But yeah. I've seen other people people taking their dog into Pete's Coffee because it's like they have a porch. That's what porches are for. Leave the dog on the porch.
Yeah, I don't like dogs where they serve food. I'm not for it. So I couldn't even believe it was legal. And I almost complained to the manager, but I just thought that is super cranky. And I don't manage this grocery store too. There's only so many grocery stores I can manage in my hometown.
I did that years ago in Santa Monica. Remember, I saw the woman with the dog in the frozen yogurt place.
Oh, and you said something.
And I said something, and it really came back to haunt me. I mean, that was their friend, and everybody was staring at me, and I became a crazy person in the middle of the yogurt store because no one would back me up.
Okay. Well, I'll back you up next time. I'll back you up.
I mean, it's not hard for me to go from 0 to 60.
Right. No, I know. I know, Sheil. Yeah.
In a service-oriented situation. But when there's a dog or the service is slow, I just go ballistic.
I know.
Oh.
Okay. All right, Monica, I know you had a story about a dating story.
I do.
Don't you, shockingly?
Yeah. Sheila, I have a dating story for us.
What? Go for it.
Okay. I read about this study, and the title of it was The Best Places to Find a Mate Who Has a Job. So this is the list for us. So it was a Pew Research study, and they looked at cities where you had the best chances of finding employed men versus employed women. So we have to move to Clarksville, Tennessee. Apparently, where that is, I think it's outside of Nashville. Apparently, the ratio of employed men to employed women is very good. It's like 145 men for every 100 women.
Oh, okay. That is a good ratio. What are they doing there in Tennessee? Are they producing whiskey or bourbon, their own bourbon?
There's an army base there. And I think that's why.
Oh, armies. Yeah.
I think that's why there are a lot of employed men there, because there's a big army base there. They also suggested Silicon Valley. Okay. They said there aren't too many women there in Silicon Valley, but there are a lot of men.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But the problem with Silicon Valley for us is they're all 20 years old.
Yeah. Okay?
That's not going to work for us. So they also suggested these were the best sort of large cities. Because, you know, Clarksville, Tennessee, it's kind of small. Best large cities for women who want to meet employed men were Minneapolis, St. Paul. Very nice place. Wonderful place to live. I don't know if you could take the winter, Sheila. And Washington, D.C. So that was good. Now, if you're thinking you want to go small town.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Did they factor in, excuse me, Monica, for DC? I mean, I know that's also a big gay city too, though.
No, this was all, this study was heterosexual.
Okay, all right.
They just looked at, that was sort okay. of the criticisms of the study, but okay. this was just heterosexual matchups.
Okay.
Men and women. So DC, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Now, Sheila, if we want to go to like a small town, or small town.
You mean you and I?
Yes, we.
If we want to go together to scope out men, I like that idea.
If we want to improve our chances, now, I'd like to meet a man, but I like to meet a man with a job. I don't really want to meet a man without a job.
Isn't that a basic, though? Have expectations become so low that they just need a job?
That's it for eligibility. Well, you have to be single, unmarried, and have a job, okay?
Okay, so what small towns are open to us?
Lafayette, Indiana. I don't know what goes on there. Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, for God's sakes.
You can't go there.
I can't go there.
I think there's a lot of men there in Bismarck.
I'm sure there are. They're what, hunting buffalo? I don't know what they're doing.
Employed and hunting buffalo.
Okay, what else? What other towns?
Beloit, Wisconsin. Again, they're all cold places, so probably wouldn't be good for us. But I do have a suggestion. You know, I went on that little road trip. to Oregon a couple of weeks ago, and I went to Bandon on the Oregon coast. And there, Leanne, you may have heard of it, the super fancy golf thing happening there, Bandon Dunes.
Right. It's this like Scotland. Resort.
Yeah. Right. Oh.
It's a Lynx style golf course, sort of all natural, on the ocean, no golf carts, you have to have a caddy. Anyways, very, very high end, very fancy. And I just drove in there to take a look around, see what I can see, because I've heard it's so beautiful. And I'm just telling you that I walked into the main hotel lobby, and I wanted, the restaurant was very beautiful, overlooked there. So I walked into the bar, and there were 50 men in that bar. And
They have jobs.
There was not one woman in that bar. And they, I wouldn't say they all looked up, but they sort of looked. And I thought, you know, an old rich golfer. Right? And they were all dressed up in these togs, you know, these expensive golf clothes. So anyways, I suggest a weekend at Bandon Dunes.
We have to buy some tam o'shanters. Get a little.
No, there's nothing else there but golf. But, you know, having a golfer for a mate is not bad because they're gone for like 9 hours a day.
I know. That's what everybody says. When you get to the end of the road, take up golf. And, I mean, people have been telling me that for years.
Yeah, a lot of men like to golf. So Bandon Dunes, I think, would be if you want to find a mate who has a job. That would be a good place to go.
Okay.
That's quite a strategy. The two of you sitting in the bar at Bandon Dunes. Good luck with that.
Like, there's just no chance I would even like do that. But I thought someone else, if they were, you know, more aggressive, they would just go there and park themselves at the bar.
Absolutely.
Meet a man.
All right, I have one more story today, you guys. I saw this in the new issue of O Magazine. Brenny or Brene Brown is one of their columnists there. And she's a PhD, and she has a whole, like, her whole thing is about, like, daring to do things. She has a book out called Daring Greatly. Okay, so, and that would be, I guess, for you guys going to Bandon, Oregon and sitting in the bar. That would
with
the holiday.
With our kilts. Yeah.
And your knee socks, some Oxford shoes. So anyway, this article caught my eye, Sheila, because I thought it actually sort of described you. And the name of the piece is Dare to Recharge.
Mm.
Burned out, it says. You need sleep and exercise, but that's only the beginning. And so so she breaks it down instead of like a to-do list. She breaks it down in things you need to dare to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sheila, you actually dare to do a lot. Like the first one, dare to be honest about what burnout looks like. Okay. For the writer, resentment is a huge warning flag, but I would say that's true for you, Sheila, wouldn't you? You really...
Yes.
Feel resentment very strongly, don't you?
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monica and I feel it strongly. We do. And I think I'm justified in my resentments at this point in my life. So yeah, I'm burned out. I'll be honest about it. And I resent everybody.
There you go. Dare to do it. Sheila.
Dare to resent.
Be honest.
Okay,
you're
what
doing
else, Leah?
You're doing
check.
It right now. Okay.
Check.
Dare to set boundaries is the next one.
Oh,
just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Sure, I could take on another carpool, but I don't want to.
I know.
That's all. That you're all about that these days.
I do less and less and less. that is my goal right now. Yes, it's all about boundaries. Sometimes I back away from the kids. Don't come near me.
That's good. All right. So you're resentful and you're putting up walls. So you're on your way to recharging, Sheila.
Okay.
It sounds like it's going in the wrong direction. Yeah. For recharging. It sounds like you're burying yourself with these daring. What else can I dare to do, Leah?
Okay, this is the last one. Sheila's already doing it. Monica, I want to know.
Let yourself go physically.
gluten-free personal pan pizza?
Dare to give a crap about anything. No, it's
pessimistic.
Dare to create a clearing for yourself.
Oh.
Okay. So here's where she actually says, nothing calms me down like swimming. All right. So she grabs her goggles and she heads for the pool and she does a clearing. Like she clears out everybody else and she just swims and swims and swims. So there you go.
That is me.
Yeah.
That is me. I should write this article. I should star in the movie.
Dare to recharge.
Dare to recharge.
Sorry, Sheila Dolan and Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Ryan. Ryan, we hardly knew ye. He's a father now. Oh.
Hey, girl.
Okay. All right. Anybody have anything else? Anything?
No, except just a little tidbit. I got a speeding ticket last week. My friend was outside the Urban Sweat Lodge again this week, Leanne, but I was going the speed limit.
Oh, good. All right. Oh, speaking of that, in my goodie bag from the girls' night out, ladies' night out, I got a free session at the Urban Sweat Lodge. So I'm going to, after the thing in the porta potty, there's no way I can do the Urban Sweat Lodge. So if you want it, I'll give it to you.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'll do it. I'll dare to sweat. And I'll report back next week.
No. All right. Well, keep up the resentment, Sheila. You're doing it. Daring to recharge. All right, Monica, have a good week. You have any big plans?
Not really. No.
She's working on her glasses.
She's working at just a 1 hour day, although I am looking forward to the new Top Chef.
Yes.
That's starting this week. It's in Boston because there's two young Portland chefs in it. So I think that will be good.
I'm still a touch angry over the results from last season.
Okay.
So I need to get over that before this.
Get over it because it's a whole new crew.
I know.
Two young chefs from Portland. It's going to be fun.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a busy weekend. Sweating and watching television. Awesome.
And blurred vision.
We are on our way to a Nobel Peace Prize. I can tell you that.
Oh, I hope Julie and Liz don't listen to this show.
All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your satellite sister.